This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وأسوتنا وقائدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما، سبحانك اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. وبعد. I welcome all of you dear beloved brothers and sisters to this FMO Radio Ramadan daily, well Monday to Thursday session and discussion on family issues. Inshallah, I will hopefully be with you starting from today, every week throughout the month of Ramadan, from Monday to Thursday. So that's four days a week. Around 6:45 p.m. I will start, inshallah, between 6:45 to 7 p.m. all the way until iftar. And I will give a talk, inshallah, and a discourse based on family issues. For those of you who have been regularly listening to and have been regularly listening to Radio Ramadan, if you remember last year, I discussed with you and we went through a text, a book titled Min Adab al-Islam, from the Manners of Islam, which was authored by a great recent scholar of the Muslim world, Shaykh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda rahimahullah. We read through the book, we translated it, we discussed it, we understood it, alhamdulillah. Over the course of 30 days of the month of Ramadan last year, we completed the book Min Adab al-Islam, which was, again, I used to come just before iftar. This year, I was thinking for the past couple of weeks as to which book to read and which book to cover. Because I remember the year before last year, I went through a book called Path to Perfection. So again, this year, when the brothers in charge at the FMO Radio Ramadan contacted me and said, okay, can you let us know of a topic or a book that you will be covering in your daily radio sessions? I actually thought about quite a few different types of books that I would cover. But recently I've really thought the importance of talking about a particular topic, and I could not find a particular book. I could not find a particular book that discussed this issue that I'm going to, inshallah, discuss with you in the way that I wanted, in a systematic way where a book talks about the importance of maintaining family ties, the importance of in Islam, the importance and the significance of maintaining family relationships, Silatul Rahim, the importance of maintaining family ties and the importance of keeping the kinship, and the grave sin of cutting off ties. So basically, Silatul Rahim, which is maintaining ties, the importance of it from the Quran and from the Hadith, and that there are literally numerous verses of the Quran and numerous Hadiths of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam that talk about maintaining kinship, maintaining family ties, not cutting off family relationships. And not just family, but I want to look at this in a more general sense, dear listeners, not just family. I mean, I know the title, if you look at the website, the FMO Radio Ramadan website, there's a whole schedule of different programs that are going to be aired, inshallah, over the course of the coming month. If you see the title, my title, Family Conflicts, the title is Family Conflicts, Causes and Solutions. Family conflicts or family disputes, family problems, causes and solutions. And as I was saying to you, that the reason why I could not select and pinpoint a book that I wanted to cover and teach from was because I could not find a book the way I wanted. Reason being is that this particular issue, this topic, family conflicts, family disputes, family problems, is seriously one of the major issues of the current times. As you know, Islam is a comprehensive religion. We have different programs looking at Islam and giving out teachings of Islam from different aspects, from different perspectives, from different angles. There are political issues, there are global issues, there are personal issues, issues to do with ibadah, worshipping Allah, but there are social issues. And when we say social issues, we say social conflicts. We don't only mean, which is also important, a topic which is like issues such as drug abuse and alcohol abuse and all of that. But I personally feel that we live in a time where the family is greatly in danger. The family system is not just in danger, it's probably, you know, many parts of the Muslim world or many Muslim families have actually been broken. And there are many major family issues, major family conflicts, disputes, problems. You speak to anyone, they have a family problem. There are problems between spouses, there are problems between husband and wife, there are problems between parents and children, there are problems between siblings, there are problems between uncles and aunts and nephews and nieces, with the first cousins, there are problems with the relatives and relations. And as I said, I do not want to just specifically and exclusively talk about family conflicts, but generally within the Muslim Ummah, we are in a time where there's mayhem. Seriously, I would not be exaggerating if I was to say there are serious issues to the point that there's chaos and anarchy within the Muslim society. Social conflicts, disunity, major problems, fights, quarrels, argumentation. Not one human being is willing to live in peace and in harmony with another human being. And then we want peace and tranquility all over the world. If a person cannot live with his fellow Muslim brother, let alone Muslim brother, his blood brother, if he cannot live at home with his brother in peace and in harmony, and with tranquility, then how is he going to sort out the problems of the world? How can he bring about peace and tranquility globally all around the world? If you cannot live at home with your own blood brother, and then you're talking about the whole Muslim world that's your brothers. Charity begins at home, brother. Seriously, it begins at home. So we live in a time where there's chaos within the family system, and not just within the family system, but socially, Muslims are disunited. And I'm not saying it's everywhere like that. Yes, there are people, alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, who are very good in their interaction. They are extremely well-mannered in their interaction, in their association, in their relationship with others, and they are very careful of fulfilling the rights of others. Remember, we have rights and responsibilities. Rights of the husband, rights of the wife, rights of the parents, rights of the children, rights of brothers, rights of sisters, rights of your relatives, rights of teachers, rights of students, rights of the employer, the rights of the employee. These are all relationships. And this is one of the main areas of Islamic teachings, mu'ashara. Mu'ashara means social issues, social rights. And we have been greatly commanded in Islam to fulfill the rights, social rights of others. We have been commanded. So going back to what I was saying, that when I was thinking about which book to cover, I could not come across a book that discussed the issue at hand in a manner that I would have liked. So therefore I thought, rather than concentrate and cover a particular, concentrate upon and cover a particular book and read through a text. I thought I'll just discuss this issue: family conflicts, social conflicts, family disputes, causes and solutions. So what I'm going to do basically, inshallah, in the next month or so, and basically it's when we say month, it's like 16 days, because I have 4 days a month: Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Monday to Thursday. So that's 4, 8, 12, 16 days. Basically, in the next 16 days, I want you first, inshallah, in the first couple of days, maybe today, tomorrow, maybe 2, 3 days, talk about the significance, the importance, and the great emphasis laid within the teachings of Islam on maintaining family ties and in making sure that our relationship with others are in harmony with the teachings of Islam. And then, inshallah, what I hope to do is mention causes and solutions. So I have a list of causes, reasons why we have problems, why we have conflicts, why we have disputes, why we have disunity. Right? I mean, there are major reasons. I mean, the basic reason is that we don't have the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's it. Full stop. And that is the basic reason. And one of the objectives of fasting in the month of Ramadan is لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمْ الصَّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Once we have the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our lives, then, you know, we have a life, we live a life that is in accordance with the teachings of Islam. Nevertheless, there are certain specific causes and reasons of family disputes and family, and not just family, social disputes. I like to change the term family to social, because I'm going to look at it from a social perspective. Not just family conflicts, not just problems at home, but just socially, generally within Muslims. There are certain reasons, there are certain causes which I want to talk about. I have a list of 7-8 different reasons. Like, for example, I made a few notes of these. The causes are such as maybe ostentation, riya, and not having sincerity and not having the correct intention when we maintain ties. And one of the causes is ghadab, anger, and I'm going to look at that in detail. One of the causes is money issues. You know, money, root of all problems. I want to talk about that cause. And each cause, each reason, each cause of family disputes, I'm going to look at it in quite and considerable depth and detail. And we'll see, we'll look at the ilajat, we'll look at the solutions. So the title and the theme of our, inshallah, discussion over the next month or so, just before iftar, Monday to Thursday, is family and social disputes, social conflicts, and the causes and their solutions. Al-asbab, the causes, and what are the solutions? What are the measures that we can take? What are the steps that we can take to avoid disputes and problems at home and within Muslims generally? What are those steps that we can take, inshallah? Now, as I said, I want to start off with talking about the importance of this issue. When we look at the teachings of Islam, dear listeners, brothers and sisters, when we look at the Quran and Sunnah, we find that there is great emphasis laid in the Quran and in the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam on maintaining family ties. Great emphasis laid on preservation of the family. On many occasions in the Quran and Sunnah, we have been ordered, we have been commanded to keep good ties. We have been ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam to fulfill the rights of kinship and not break ties. Numerous texts from the Quran and Sunnah, when it comes to ibadat, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran is quite limited. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not go into detail when explaining the rules of salah. Pick up the Quran and read, you will not find any verse in the Quran that tells you and informs you and describes to you the method of offering Fajr Salah. Seriously, you will not find any verse in the Quran that actually tells you that there are two rak'at or rak'atain of Fajr Salah. Nowhere. Imagine the basic obligation of a Muslim. Yes, the details are found in the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in the Sahih al-Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, and elsewhere. So the Quran is quite limited when it comes to many issues, and specifically when it comes to ibadat, worshipping Allah, the basics of fasting, the basics of salah and prayer. The Quran is quite limited, but when it comes to social issues, when it comes to mu'asharah, when it comes to living with others, when it comes to fulfilling the rights of other people, when it comes to not harming and hurting other people, when it comes to ensuring that we don't have disputes and argumentations and conflicts and problems and disputes, the Quran goes into quite detail. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes into quite detail explaining the rules of interaction. And Allah orders us in the Quran to maintain good ties with other people. In the first few pages of the Quran, if you started reciting your Quran, brothers and sisters, which you should do, definitely, in the month of Ramadan, you know the month of Ramadan, this is on a side point. The month of Ramadan is Shahru al-Quran. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. Allah says شهر رمضان, it's the month of Ramadan, الذي أنزل فيه القرآن, it is that month in which the Quran was revealed. إن أنزلناه في ليلة القدر وما أدراك ما ليلة القدر. It's a month of Quran. So as a side point, dear brothers and sisters, seriously, make a habit of reciting the Quran as much as possible. You have to take time out for the recitation of the Quran. This month is specifically, it's the month of Quran. More than any other form of worship, recitation of the Quran is greatly encouraged in this particular month. Take time out. Set aside some portion of the day and the night wherein you recite the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You recite the words of our Lord and our Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not just recitation, fast, hasty recitation, brother, sister. No. With a bit of tadabbur, with a bit of tafakkur, with some kind of reflection, meditation, concentration. If you know the words Arabic, reflect on them. It's maybe good and worthwhile keeping a translation and just trying to understand the basic message, not going to the details, of course, because that is not for a layperson to do. Just the basic message, and think and reflect and recite the Quran slowly. It's not about, seriously, it's not about quantity, it's about the quality. Sometimes we think we want to do 10 khatams of the Quran, and we read so fast that we don't even know what we're reading, whether it's Arabic or Chinese. We don't even know what we're reading. Now, nobody knows, nobody has a clue. So it's not about quantity, it's about quality. It's about quality, with tadabbur, with reflection. Read, recite the book of Allah, take time out. You must take time out, brother and sister. I know we have a lot of things to do in Ramadan. We have to go work, we have to go college, we have to go university, we have to study, we have to do this. And we're listening to Radio Ramadan as well. But there's a time and space for everything. That's why I look at night time, Radio Ramadan is off. There's recitation of the Quran is being put on. Because you listen to the Quran and you read the Quran. So don't spend your whole time in doing no ibadah, worshipping Allah. And I know, you know, I'll be frank in saying this, that one person listening to the Radio Ramadan whole day long, that's not what the Radio Ramadan is there for. It's catering for people for different times. You have to, as a you know, responsible person, divide your own personal time. You have your own time, you have your time between you and your family, you have your time between you and your Lord, you have your time between you and your Quran, you have your time for your recitation of the book of Allah, for the recitation of some other books, for sending blessings on the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and you have your time allocated to reading some books, and then time allocated to tuning in and listening to Radio Ramadan, to whatever shows that you feel that are more beneficial to you. وَلِلنَّاسِ فِيمَا يَعْشَقُونَ مَذَاهِبُ. People have their own favorite, you know, things to listen to. So as a responsible person, you need to do that. So anyway, that was a side point, and I don't want to go into the details, but remember, just make sure that you recite the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we look at the book of Allah, the Quran is quite limited in issues of salah and zakat, but when it comes to social issues, into extreme detail. So as I was saying, the first few pages of the Quran, if you've started making way, khatam and recitation of the book of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the fasiqoon. He says the fasiqoon, the sinners, الَّذِينَ يَنْقُولُونَ أَحْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مِثَاقِهِ. من الفاسقون؟ Who are the فاسقون؟ الفاسقين الذين ينقضون أحد الله من بعد ميثاقه ويقطعون ما أمر الله به أن يوصل ويفسدون في الأرض. Allah describes the wretched, the sinners, the evil people, and He says the evil people are those يقطعون ما أمر الله به أن يوصل. They break that which Allah has commanded. They break the ties. They break the ties, the connection, the ties that which Allah has ordered and commanded them to join and maintain. يقطعون ما أمر الله به أن يوصل. And what do they do also? يفسدون في الأرض. They cause destruction in the earth. They cause destruction in the earth. And there are many verses. There's another verse in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَأَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ. This is actually one of the verses recited at the time of nikah. You know, when the nikah is being performed in the masjid, when the imam recites the khutbah, the sermon, he recites three verses of taqwa. One of the verses, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَقِيبًا. This is one of the three verses that are recited at the time of the nikah khutbah. What does Allah say? يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا. Allah talks about, He says, O people, fear your Lord. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ. Fear your Lord. الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ. Who created you from one soul. Who was our forefather Adam, peace be upon him. وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا. And He created his spouse from him. وَبَثَ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً. And spread from the two, from Adam and Hawa, عَلَيْهِمَا الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. Peace be upon both of them. Allah spread loads of people, mankind. Men and women, spread them into the earth. وَبَثَ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً. And then Allah says, and this is part of the verse, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ. And fear Allah, الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ. Fear Allah through whom you ask for your mutual rights. Fear Allah through whom you demand your mutual rights. You know what that means? And you know when we ask one another our rights, we say, by Allah, give me my right. By Allah, for the sake of Allah, give me this, for the sake of Allah. I'm asking you for the sake of Allah. You know, don't do this to me. And for the sake of Allah, please, you know, just give it back to me. So Allah says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَأَلُونَ بِهِ. Fear Allah through whom, through whose sake, and through whom you ask and demand your mutual rights. Fear Him. وَالْأَرْحَامَ. This وَالْأَرْحَامَ is connected to وَاتَّقُوا. And fear الأرحام. Allah uses the term وَالْأَرْحَامَ in the Quran. And you know what الأرحام, what does it mean? It's the plural of رحم. Remember this word in Arabic. It's a unique word. رحم. You know these three letters, Ra, Ha, and Mim, in the Arabic language, unique. The combination of these three letters is extremely unique. Ra, Ha, Mim. Look, Ar-Rahman has a Ra, Ha, Mim. Ar-Rahim, Rahmatun, Ar-Rahimun, Rahim, Arham. All these words, they're interrelated. They're all interrelated. Allah says, fear al-arham. Al-arham is a plural of rahim, which means fear kinship. Fear kinship means you don't fear that it's not going to beat you up, this kinship, but fear violating kinship. Kinship, arham, means family ties. Fear Allah from breaking and violating family relationships. Fear Allah from cutting off your relationship with your relatives. Fear Allah from neglecting your rights and your duties towards your relatives and your family members and your cousins. Fear Allah from having disputes and conflicts with your fellow Muslim brothers and sisters. Silatul Rahim. وَاتَّقُوا الْأَرْحَامَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَقِيبًا. Allah is watching over you. And there are many verses. There's a hadith which is recorded in the Sahih of Imam Muslim from a companion, Sayyiduna Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who says that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى خَلَقَ الْخَلْقِ. Verily, this hadith is recorded by Imam Muslim in his Sahih. Inna Allah Ta'ala khalaq al-khalq. Verily, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala created his creation. Hatta idha faragha minhu. When he completed creating his creation, qamat ar-rahim, kinship stood up. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala created his creation. This was in pre-existence, right? This was in pre-existence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created his creation, created everything. Allah created everything in pre-existence. When he created everything, qamat ar-rahim, this hadith is rigorously authenticated. It's a sahih, authenticated hadith recorded by Imam Muslim in his sahih, so there's no doubt. Qamat ar-rahim, kinship, rahim. See the word again, rahim stood up and spoke to Allah. Now you might say, how can Rahim stand up and speak? Is Rahim a human being? No, it's not a human being. Rahim means kinship, relationship. Kinship and relationship. You know, the relationship itself stood up, فَقَالَتْ, and spoke to Allah. Now, how did this happen? Allahu A'lam, Allah knows best. And nowadays, a lot of things that we 300-400 years ago, people would not even have had a clue that they would speak, they speak. Now imagine, good 700-800 years ago, if somebody saw a mobile phone, right? and you know, someone, some sound coming out from it, they'll probably have a shock of their life. They would, 600-700 years ago. They would have a shock. That's what's happening here. It's like, this is like a human being talking. How can a small object, just one example, mobile phone. Now we have iPhones and we have iPods and we have this pods and that pods and what, we have so many different things. But anyway, so exactly like that. We cannot understand right now. Allah will enable it to speak. How? Allah knows best. Allah will enable it to speak, but how? Allah knows best. We leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't know. Allah knows best. Our knowledge is limited. So kinship, relationship, stood up and spoke to Allah and said to Allah, هذا مقام العائذ بك من القطيعة. Spoke to Allah and said to Allah, oh Allah, at this point, after you've created me, now you know what? You've created me, I am seeking your protection and your refuge from being violated, from being cut off, from people neglecting me. The relationship spoke to Allah and said, oh Allah, I seek your refuge. I don't want to be neglected. I don't want to be cut off. I want to be joined. And I want people to give me the right and maintain me. قَالَ نَعَمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded and said, yes, no problem. Your wish guaranteed. And then Allah said, أَمَا تَرْضِينَ أَنْ أَصِلَ مَنْ وَصَلَكِ وَأَقْطَعْ مَنْ قَطَعَكِ. To make you happy, listen, O kinship, O relationship, listen. To make you happy, Allah said to it, أَصِلْ مَنْ وَصَلَكِ. Whoever maintains you, I will maintain that individual. وَأَقْطَعْ مَنْ قَطَعَكِ. And whoever breaks you off, whoever cuts you off, whoever neglects you, I will neglect them, I will cut them off. I will break them. I will not look. Whoever neglects you and does not maintain you, I will neglect that person, Allah is saying, and I will not maintain that person. قَالَتْ بَلَى. So the kingship said, yes, indeed, I'm happy with this. You know, I asked your protection, and O Allah, you gave me this response, بَلَى, I am happy. قَالَ بِذَلِكَ لَكَ. So then Allah responded by saying, okay, your dua, your supplication, your request is accepted, you will have it. And after that, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited a verse. He said, اقرأوا ما شئتم. He said, recite the verse of the book of Allah if you want. فَهَلْ عَسَيْتُمْ إِن تَوَلَّيْتُمْ أَن تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَتُقَطِّعُوا أَرْحَامَكُمْ أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهُ فَأَصَمَّهُمْ وَأَعْمَى أَبْصَارَهُمْ. This is a verse of Surah Muhammad. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after mentioning this, he recited, he said, look, recite the verse of the book of Allah, and then he recited this verse, this ayah, wherein Allah says, إِن تَوَلَّيْتُمْ فَهَلْ عَسَيْتُمْ إِن تَوَلَّيْتُمْ أَن تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَتُقَطِّعُوا أَرْحَامَكُمْ. That, you know, if you turn your backs and you cause destruction in the earth, فَسَادْ فِي الْأَرْضِ, and وَتُقَطِّعُوا أَرْحَامَكُمْ, and if you break ties, وَتُقَطِّعُوا أَرْحَامَكُمْ, if you break ties, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ لَعْنَهُمُ اللَّهِ, these are the people whom Allah has cursed. These are the people whom Allah has cursed. لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ, لَعْنَة. You know, لَعْنَة means the curse of Allah. The one who is cursed is removed from the mercy of Allah, is distant from divine mercy. May Allah save us all. So, the verse says, those people who break up ties, who don't maintain family relationships, Allah has cursed them. فَأَصَمَّهُمْ, He's made them deaf. وَأَعْمَى أَبْصَارَهُمْ, and He's made their eyesight blind. He's made them deaf and He's made them blind. They're blind in their hearts. Okay, so this is a verse of the a hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and a hadith, and we have many you know hadith, and I'm going to inshallah look at some more hadith which I've just, you know, picked up from Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, his book Al-Adab al-Mufrad. But before I do so, there's a hadith in the Sunan of Al-Imam Abu Dawood rahimahullah, related by the great companion Sayyiduna Abu al-Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, who says that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَلَا أُخْبِرُكُمْ بِأَفْضَلَ مِنْ دَرَجَةِ الصِّيَامِ وَالصَّلَاةِ وَصَدَقَةِ. قَالُوا بَلَى. قال إِصْلَاحُ ذَاتِ الْبَيْنِ وَفَسَادُ ذَاتِ الْبَيْنِ الْحَالِقَةِ. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our beloved Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was once addressing the companions radiallahu anhum, and when he was addressing them, he said, shall I not inform you of something? Ala ukhbirukum? Shall I not inform you of something that is more virtuous than fasting and prayer and charity? Now, this was a question. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam presented this question to the companions, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and said, shall I not inform you? And you know, this was a habit of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Many a time he would do that. He would say, shall I not inform you something? Do you want to know about this? Shall I not tell you about this? Do you know what the, you know, best form of action is? Or do you know how to get Jannah and enter paradise? Do you know what is the best method of earning the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He would do that. And it's one of the very effective ways and means of catching the attention of your listeners. Therefore, you know, when if you're addressing a group of people, and if there are students listening and they are doing talks, you know, to catch their imagination and their attention, you could say, okay, listen everybody, I'll tell you something. You know what, the next thing, you know, and it gets the attention of people. And this is sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are different ways of teaching and preaching ways of passing on your message. There's a very good book, Al-Rasul al-Mu'allim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which the author has actually mentioned the ways in which the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught. So beautiful, mashaAllah. So he would do that on numerous occasions. Shall I not inform you of something? in order to get the attention of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. He said, أَلَا أُخْبِرُكُمْ, shall I not tell you, shall I not inform you of an act which is more virtuous, which has more rewards? SubhanAllah, listen to this hadith, brothers and sisters. Shall I not tell you of something that has more rewards, you earn more rewards than even fasting, prayer and charity? The Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like us, knew and were aware of the importance of fasting. They knew the importance of salah, prayer. They knew that the most important form of action for a believer, for a Muslim, is what? Is his salah. And they knew about fasting, numerous rewards. And they knew the rewards of charity. We've been listening about charity and fasting and salah on Radio Ramadan. They knew, and we know them as well. So in order to get their attention, he said, shall I not tell you something which is even more better and more virtuous and more rewarding? And the companion said, wait a minute, something more virtuous than salah, prayer and fasting and charity? This must be something really major. But remember, when this hadith is actually referring to voluntary salah, fasting and voluntary prayer and voluntary charity, it's not relating to fard and obligatory prayers, okay? So the Sahaba radiallahu anhu entreat, and then the Messenger sallallahu, and they said, yes, bala, O Messenger of Allah, please do go ahead and tell us, because we want to know and we want to act upon it. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Islahu dhatil bayn, that form of action which is more virtuous than salah, than prayer, than charity, Islahu dhatil bayn. You know what that is? You know what? Everybody ready to listen? Islahu dhatil bayn, making peace between people who are at war. Making peace between people who have a conflict, who have a dispute, who have a problem within your family or within your social circles. And then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَفَسَادُ ذَاتِ الْبَيْنِ الْحَالِقَةِ, and to cause conflict and to do the opposite, to cause disunity, is actually something that حَالِقَة, it destroys you, it destroys you. SubhanAllah, just look at this hadith. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that making peace between people is even more virtuous than fasting. Remember, nafil. So like for example, there's one individual, and I'm going to inshallah go to the break after just completing this hadith. There's one individual who offers all night long nafil salah, tahajjud nafil, 2 rak'at, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12. You should do that. Doesn't mean we shouldn't do that as well. There's another individual all year long, he just keeps on fasting, observing fast. Mondays he fasts, Thursday he fasts, he keeps on fasting. Nafil, remember, not Ramadan fasts, and not 5 times Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha prayer. Those are fara'id, those are very important. But nafil. And there's another person who's giving charity, donation after donation, he's giving him pledge days here and there, and he's always giving money. And remember, we have to do that as well. There's a time and place for everything. But this hadith is saying that despite doing all these nafil prayers, there's another person who actually found that there were two Muslim brothers who were not talking to one another. They had deserted one another. They hate one another. They have not spoken to one another for over a year. And you go to them and you sort out their problems and you create peace and you make them friends again. SubhanAllah, this hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not lying. The hadith is saying that you, by making peace amongst those two people who were at odds with one another, who were such that when their paths met, they turned away, they would not even say salam to one another, you have earned more reward than that person who stayed awake all night offering nafil prayer. You gained more reward and more thawab than that person who offered, who kept on fasting nafil throughout the year, and you gain more reward, according to the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, than that individual who actually kept on giving fi sabilillah donations and charity. SubhanAllah. So this is another hadith as well, inshaAllah. We're going to take a break now, inshaAllah, and after the break I will continue with our discussion on this topic, inshaAllah. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back, inshaAllah. Carrying on with our discussion on the topic of social and family conflicts, causes and solutions. Before the break, we were looking at a hadith recorded in the Sunan of Al-Imam Abu Dawood radiallahu anhu, related by the companion Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, he said to the companion, shall I not tell you of something that is more virtuous, more rewarding, gains you more pleasure of Allah than nafil, voluntary fasting, prayer and charity? And when the companion said, yes, O Messenger of Allah, he said, Islahu dhatil bayn, making peace between people. SubhanAllah, such a great act of reward. Such a great act of reward. And therefore, brothers and sisters, if you know within your family, or even within your relatives, or even within Muslims in general, if you know people that there's a conflict between them, there are two people, there are two sisters that have not spoken to one another for like Allah knows how many years, 10 years, 5 years, 4 years, 3 years, 2 years. If you know, for example, that there's two cousins, they don't speak to one another. You know, two people, business partners, they were doing business and something went wrong. Remember, money, root of all problems. And when I'm going to, inshallah, go through the causes and solutions, I'm going to talk about money issues as well, one of the causes of conflicts. Because, as I said, in the first 2-3 days, it's just introduction, and then I'll go into the causes. That's why the title is Family Social Conflicts, Causes and Solutions, each one by one, each cause that I will discuss. So if you know people, if you know in the in-laws there are problems, if you know there's a problem between a daughter-in-law and a mother-in-law, if you know there's a problem between one sister-in-law and the other sister-in-law, and some families it's just like every day it's a soap opera, seriously, soap opera. I'm telling you through experience, because I speak to a lot of people, brothers and sisters, really does a day pass by that I don't have someone contacting me via phone or via email that there is a problem, social problem at home. Whether a husband is calling me, contacting me, talking about the problems about him, his marriage and his wife, that the most evil person in this world is his wife. There's nothing wrong with him, you know, because he's speaking, so there's nothing wrong with him. It's every problem is to do with his wife. Or the wife talking and saying that her husband is the most evil person in the world. There's nothing wrong with her. She's perfectly fine. Because you know what? She's talking, right? So that's what the wife will do. Parents about their children. Children about their parents. Children saying our parents are being too this and too that and too nasty and too oppressive and too aggressive, and they don't want to let us give us the freedom, and they don't let us marry who we want. Parents are saying children, they disobey us. They don't respect us. They're deviated, they've left, you know, the new generation, I don't know, it's the internet generation, look at them, what they're doing. In-laws, mother-in-law, you know, contacting and talking about the daughter-in-law, that she's not doing this, she's not doing that. Daughter-in-law's talking always about the mother-in-law, complaining about the problems of husband and the mother-in-law and the family, and in-laws, that the in-laws are this and they're oppressive and they're like this and they're like that. Everywhere you look, I would not be exaggerating, as I said, despite we seeing Islam places a lot of importance on peace, in having peace and tranquility within our social circles. We have major problems within the family, within our social circles. Major problems. There are major conflicts, frictions, disputes, disunity. And I would not be exaggerating, brothers and sisters, if I was to say there is chaos and anarchy within our social circles. There is chaos and anarchy. We've reached that level. That there's absolute chaos and anarchy. No one person is willing to live in peace and harmony with another individual. You look at every level, there are conflicts. There are conflicts, every level, in the workplace, even a Muslim business, employer, employee, workmates, problems. Human beings that start living with one another, that's it. 2 days does not pass, conflicts. Every level, Everywhere we look, it's so sad. Seriously, when I speak about this, I feel so sad. It's so unfortunate. Wherever we look, any organization, any group, whether it's the family, whether it's an Islamic organization, whatever organization, whether it's at the workplace, whether it's in business, wherever it is, we just cannot live with other people. Subhanallah, it's just so, it's so saddening. I mean, we just cannot live with other people. It's like we've become worse than animals. Imam al-Ghazali rahimahullah, the great Hujjatul Islam Abu Hamid al-Ghazali, when he was explaining to us the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, where he says, "Al-Muslimu man salima al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi." The true believer is the one from whose hands and whose mouth other believers are safe. They are not hurt. Islam teaches us that we should not say anything or do anything. Our actions and our verbal statements should not contribute to harming anyone in any shape or form. We are not supposed to harm anyone. Imam al-Ghazali, in his great masterpiece, his work, Ihya'u Ulum al-Din, and if you haven't read that book, seriously read it, Reviving of Islamic Sciences, Abu Hamid, Hujjatul Islam, the Proof of Islam, he was given the title. Imam Abu Hamid al-Ghazali, rahimahullah wa radi anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, in his Ihya Ulum al-Din, you know, he says that there's three types of animals. Some animals are such that they more or less just harm you. There's no real benefit in them. Remember, there is, of course, benefit in everything. There is some benefit in everything, but generally, the first category of animals are those that generally harm you. They just harm you. They bite you, they sting you, they're poisonous. Snakes, scorpions, etc., etc. He says another group of animals, second category of animals, are those that they just give benefit, no harm whatsoever. The first one, just harm, more or less no benefit. The second category, they just benefit you, like cows, goats, sheep. We benefit from the milk, and if we don't benefit from the milk, then they give their lives for us. We can slaughter them if you're a meat eater. If you're a vegetarian, then just benefit from the milk. But we benefit from them, we eat them, and they don't generally harm. There's no harm, it's just benefit. And there's another category in the middle of animals that do not harm and neither benefit. The first category of animals are the ones that harm, only harm. The other category of animals are the ones that only benefit. And the middle category of many animals that live in the wild, there's no harm. They don't harm you, they don't benefit you, they don't benefit us, they don't harm us, they just that's it. They don't do anything. Imam al-Ghazali, rahimahullah radhi anhu, he says, after describing these three categories of animals, he says, O Muslim, you're a human being. Right? He says, you're a human being. O insan, you're a human being. You are ashraful makhluqat. Allah has made you the most noble of His creatures, created you as the most noble. Ashraf. Ashraf means the most noble. You are more noble than the animals. Your level and your rank and your position and your status and your maqam is higher than the animal. You should be benefiting people. If you don't want to, okay, if you want to be like the animals, fine, no problem. You can be, oh human. Try to be like the first category of animals, Imam al-Ghazali states. Be like the animals who give benefit, like the cows and the sheep and the goats, from whom you benefit, milk and meat. Be like them. And then he says that, oh human, oh insan, if you do not want to be on the top level of animals, then at least be the middle, in the second level. Be like the animal that does not harm and neither gives benefit. If you don't want to give benefit to anyone, no problem. Don't do anything for anyone. But at least do not harm anyone. At least do not harm anyone. And don't become so low that you become like the animals from the third category that do not benefit, rather they just harm. Imam al-Ghazali radiallahu anhu is stating this in his book, Ihya'u Ulum al-Din. So, brothers and sisters, Islam is based on not harming other people. Al-Muslimu man salima al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi. And as I said, I would not be exaggerating if I said there's major chaos and anarchy and mayhem within our social circles in terms of conflicts, problems, disputes, friction, disunity. Everywhere you look, disunity, problems, fights, quarrels, argumentation, disputes, friction. Everywhere. إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ رَبُّكَ إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهِ, with the exception of a few here and there. And that's the reason why I really want to talk about this topic. Because through my experience, it's like everyone who talks to me, they've got a problem at home. Nobody just gets on with anyone else. The hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which I was explaining, he said, making peace between two people is more rewarding than voluntary fasting, voluntary prayer, and voluntary charity. And then what did he say after that? وَفَسَادُ ذَاتِ الْبَيْنِ الْحَالِقَ, and causing disunity. Causing disunity, subhanAllah. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, the first part, where he said that making peace amongst people is more rewarding than fasting, and more rewarding than prayer, and more rewarding than optional nafil charity. But let alone that you go and make peace between people, let alone that you find two people who are enemies of one another and you make and create peace between them, some people, subhanAllah, I mean, how low can you get? Some people have nothing else to do in this life except cause problems. At least if you can't be of those who go and find people who are at war with one another and you create peace and make people friends again, if you can't do that, then at least don't be from those who cause problems and fights. And some people, they have a, you know, matchbox in their pockets, not literally speaking, and they're just there to ready to light the match anywhere they smell where you can. This is the work of Shaitan and Iblis, to cause friction between people. They actually, some people, you know, they get fascinated by controversies. They like, you know, problems. They like, you know, they actually start off the fight, and then they run away like a mouse, and then they watch from the side. A human being cannot do that. Some people actually thrive on conflicts. They actually like controversies, and they like conflicts, and they like problems, and they like, you know, people arguing and debating. This is not the sign of a person who has a sound heart. This is not a sign of a true, complete believer. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hadith, he said, وَفَسَادُ ذَاتِ الْبَيْنِ الْحَالِقَ, causing disunity, causing problems, is al-haliqa. The word in Arabic, al-haliqa, is from the word halaq. If you've been for Hajj Umrah, you must have heard of the word halaq. Halaq means to shave. Haliqa means shaver. It shaves off, meaning it takes you. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in another hadith explaining this, he said, لا أقول تحلق الشعر ولكن تحلق الدين. I don't mean that it shaves off your hair from your head, uproots your hair from your head. Rather, disunity and causing friction between people, and jagra and problems and friction and fighting and quarreling and disputes, تَحْلِقُ الدِّينِ, it shaves off your religion, it removes your religion from its roots, it takes away your Islam, your prayer, your fasting, your zakat, your hajj, your umrah, your Quran recitation is of no benefit, because it's been uprooted, it's been taken out from its root and been thrown away. This is the meaning of the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there are numerous hadiths, brothers and sisters, great emphasis laid in the Quran and Sunnah about maintaining ties, about having love and peace amongst ourselves. And you know why there's so much emphasis? Because, you know, if family ties are maintained, family relationships are maintained, then we will live a peaceful life. We will live a life of peace, of tranquility, of harmony, and, you know, we will have safety and security and peace in our lives. And the family is the basis of a sound society. If we have good family, you know, we have peace and tranquility at home, brothers and sisters, then that will contribute to our society became as a whole, our society as a whole being tranquil and peaceful. And if our societies are peaceful, then we will have the energy to go and work for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will be able to do good for humanity. But if there's no peace at home, if there's no tranquility at home, if there are problems every day, your energy is being wasted in fighting and arguing and getting your point across, and outside the house as well, then there's no energy left in doing works for deen, in helping humanity. If the family is stable, the whole society becomes stable. If there's friction, corruption in the family, then the whole society is at war. The society at large finds itself in frictions and problems. So we find that the Quran and Hadith extremely in many details, and as I said that inshallah I'm going to look at some hadiths before we actually go into the causes one by one and look at the solutions, look at the root causes of friction, family friction and family disputes and problems. Before I do that, inshallah tomorrow as well, I'm going to inshallah carry on with this theme of talking about the importance of maintaining family ties, keeping good family relationships, and the dislikeness and the detestability of breaking family ties. But to conclude today, in the next 5-7 minutes that we have in front of us, there are many other hadiths of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well that talk about and many verses as well talk about creating peace and tranquility. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says, وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا فَتَفْشَلُوا وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ وَاصْبِرُوا إِنَ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الصَّابِرِينَ. وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا فَتَفْشَلُوا وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ. Do not dispute. وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا. Do not fight. Do not quarrel. This is what I was just mentioning, that you know what, if we spend all our energy in fighting, in arguing, in disputing, in friction, then what happens? We lose all our energy for good. This is what Allah is saying in this verse of the Quran. وَلَا تَنَزَعُوا. Do not fight. وَلَا تَنَزَعُوا. Do not dispute and argue and do not have quarrels. فَتَفْشَلُوا. You know why? Because فَتَفْشَلُوا. If you fight and argue, فَتَفْشَلُوا. You will become weak. You will become a coward. Cowardness will set in you. وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ. And all your energy will go away. And you won't be able to do any good. In another verse Allah says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ فَرَّقُوا دِينَهُمْ وَكَانُوا شِيَعًا لَسْتَ مِنْهُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ. Allah is addressing the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, "Inna alladhina farraqu." Verily, those Muslims, those people who've disunited, farraqu dinahum, they've disunited. They are always fighting with one another. Wa kanu shi'an, they've become groups and sects and different groups. Allah says to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's addressing them and he's telling him, he said, "O Messenger, lasta minhum fi shay'in." You have nothing whatsoever to do with them. You have been disassociated with them. No connection. Subhanallah. We say we love the Messenger of Allah. I love the Messenger of Allah. You love the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Of course we should be and we should have love. We talk about the sunnahs of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, brothers and sisters. And we must have sunnahs in our life. But you know what? There's not only one type of sunnah. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam's life is a sunnah for us. Sunnahs, when we say we have to follow the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when we say we have to follow in the ways of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, does sunnah only mean, and remember, please don't take my words out of context. I really fear this. Don't take it out of context. Listen to it properly, thoroughly. Don't take things out from, you know, out of context. And don't misunderstand me, what I'm saying here. When we say we love the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have to follow the sunnah. We have to follow the sunnah. Inshallah, we should all try our best to follow the sunnah. But does sunnah only mean? Does following sunnah only mean? Remember the word only. Does it only mean keeping a beard? Does it only mean wearing a hat? Does it only mean wearing a long thobe? Does it only mean your external appearance? Does sunnah only mean wearing a niqab and a hijab? Does sunnah only mean eating the foods that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam liked? What is it more, much more than that? Sunnah is a complete way of life. The way we deal with others is probably one of the most important sunnah in our life. Our interaction with people. I could look externally like the greatest Muslim on the face of the earth, but the way I talk with people, the way I interact with people, I cannot even have a smile on my face when I speak to someone. Is that what following sunnah is? I could dress like a Muslim and have, you know, the imama on my head, the turban, the longest beard, and have a scarf and everything. And then when someone meets me, I can't even make a smile, bring a smile on my face. Is that sunnah? Is that what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would do? The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Ad-Darda radiallahu anhu, his wife says, that I used to think my husband, Ummu Ad-Darda said, I used to think my husband, Abu Ad-Darda, was insane because every time he would speak, he would smile. So I said to him, Abu Darda, you know, why do you keep on smiling all the time when you speak? يَظُنُّ النَّاسَ أَنَّكَ مَجْنُونَ People will think that you're insane. Abu Ad-Darda radiallahu anhu said, you know what? I saw my beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every time he spoke, he would smile, so I follow in his footsteps. Let people think I'm insane. Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bajali, the great companion, radiallahu anhu says, مَا حَجَبَنِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مُنْذُ أَسْلَمْتُ وَلَا رَآنِي إِلَّا تَبَسَّمَ فِي وَجْهِ Since I became a Muslim, subhanAllah, this is one of my favorite hadiths, amazing, unique hadith. Since I became a Muslim, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never placed a barrier between himself and myself. SubhanAllah, this is the leader of the Muslims, no barrier. There's no restrictions, no barriers. You don't have to go through 500 cemeteries. No barrier. وَلَا رَآنِي إِلَّا تَبَسَّمَ فِي وَجْهِ Never did he see me except that he smiled in my face. SubhanAllah, just imagine. Every time the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the beloved of Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he saw this companion Sahabi Jarir bin Abdullah al-Bajali, he would smile in his face. Smiling is a sunnah as well, brothers. Just like growing a beard is a very important sunnah, smiling is also a very important sunnah. I actually wanted to do a talk once, the title, and I've mentioned this on many occasions. Smiling, the forgotten sunnah. Because we've forgotten, we don't think that's a sunnah. We know about the beard. We know about some other, the siwak. Oh, a very important sunnah. We do know, cleaning the mouth, siwak. Nitharatun lil-fam, marbatun lil-rabb. But do we ever remember, or do we know, that smiling is also a sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Imam al-Bukhari radiallahu anhu, in this book that I have in front of me, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, he's got a chapter, Babun al-imbisatu ilal-nas, imbisat, chapter regarding opening up to people, not being reserved. It's against the sunnah to be reserved, to have a reserved personality. People talk to you, you're just reserved, you got a stuck up face. That's not what a Muslim does. A Muslim is light-hearted, warm-hearted, and he has this, you know, smiley, illuminated face. Al-imbisat. And this is why the hadith says, إِنَّ مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ أَن تَلْقَى أَخَاكَ بِوَجْهٍ طَلَقٍ Out of righteousness is that you meet your fellow Muslim brother and sister with a, you know, smiley and open and pleasant face. Not being reserved, being pleasant. So anyway, this was a hadith, this verse of the Quran that I said, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ فَرَّقُوا دِينَهُمْ وَكَانُوا شِيعًا لَسْتَ مِنْهُمْ فِي الشَّيْءٍ He says, O Messenger, those people who are disunited, who are always fighting, who are always quarreling, and always in friction, in problems, in disputes, in argumentation, who have friction in their life, O Messenger, لَسْتَ مِنْهُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ You have nothing whatsoever to do with them. No connection with the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may Allah save us all. And there are many other verses as well. There is one hadith which I will end on in terms of the importance of being good with people, in terms of maintaining family relationships, in terms of maintaining social relationships. There's one hadith, and this is again one of my favorite hadiths, and I will end on this hadith because iftar time is fast approaching. There's a hadith in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad rahimahullah wa radiya anhu, a great collection of hadith. Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, he relates from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he says, Al-mu'minu ma'lafatun. Subhanallah. Subhanallah is not part of the hadith, by the way. Al-mu'minu ma'lafatun, wa la khayra fi man la ya'laf wa la yu'laf. Amazing hadith. I absolutely love this hadith. Al-mu'minu ma'lafatun. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is describing to us who a believer is. Do you want to know who a believer is? Do you want to know who a believer is? A mu'min? The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is describing to us who a believer is. Do you want to know as well, listeners? Okay, got your attention? Right. He says, Al-mu'minu ma'lafatun. A mu'min, a believer, is a place of love. Subhanallah. Yani, this hadith, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not saying a believer is the one who loves people. No. The word used, ma'lafatun, a believer is a place, an abode of love. It's a utensil. It's a utensil, it's a place, it's an abode of love, where love is poured out. وَلَا خَيْرَ فِي مَنْ لَا يَأْلَفْ وَلَا يُؤْلَفْ. And there is no good in the one who does not love others, and others don't love that person. There's much more to say on this hadith, but you know what? I think I'll stop on this, inshallah. So tomorrow I'll carry on from this hadith. Somebody asked which kitab I was referring to. Actually, as I said in the beginning of this talk, when I started the session just after 6:45, that I'm not specifically teaching from a particular book. I was thinking about covering a text like last year when I taught the book Min Adab al-Islam, Manners of Islam, at the same time before iftar an hour, but because I could not find a book that I wanted to, that I thought was suitable, I'm just, you know, in light of Quranic ayat and hadith, I'm going to talk about this topic. The title is Family Conflicts, Social Conflicts, Causes and Solutions. I've got like 8, 9, 10 different causes and solutions that we'll cover over the course of the next few days, inshallah, every day around 6:45 p.m. till iftar. The book that I just briefly mentioned was a book called Al-Adab al-Mufrad, which is a hadith book written by Imam al-Bukhari. Al-Adab al-Mufrad, it's a hadith collection, and I will quote some hadith from that book, inshallah. So tomorrow we'll continue from where we've left, inshallah. Jazakallah khair for listening. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وبعد. Respected brothers, welcome back, inshallah, to our discussion on family conflict issues. The title, as you know, Family Conflicts, Social Conflicts, Causes and Solutions. Just before the break, we were talking about the importance of maintaining ties, and I was looking at some of the hadiths of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even yesterday we discussed many hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and many verses of the Quran about this topic of maintaining ties and ensuring that we don't break ties, and ensuring that we are courteous towards our relatives and family members first and foremost, and then generally with the society. We are looking at some hadiths here from Al-Adab al-Mufrad of Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah on Silatul Rahim. There's another hadith here where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Imam al-Bukhari, relates that he has a chapter, Babu Silati al-Rahimi Tazidu fil Umr. Maintaining ties increases one's age. Subhanallah. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu says that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man ahabba an yubsata lahu fi rizqihi wa an yunsa'a lahu fi atharihi falyasil rahimahu. The one who wants his rizq, his sustenance, his provision to increase and have a long life. This hadith, other than Imam al-Bukhari's Adab al-Mufrad, it's in Imam al-Bukhari's Sahih, and in Imam Muslim's Sahih, and in Abu Dawood, Sunan of Imam Abu Dawood. Whoever wants an yubsata lahu fi rizqihi, whoever wants to have barakah and blessings in his rizq. Whoever wants, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, remember when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, there is no doubt. No doubt whatsoever. It's a rigorously authenticated sahih hadith. If you want barakah in your rizq, in your sustenance, in your provision, if you want to beat the credit crunch, by the way, you're finding it difficult. What is the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying? One of the things that you can do, not the only thing, but one of the things he says, مَنْ أَحَبَّ أَن يُبْسَطَ لَهُ فِي رِزْقِهِ and also أَن يُنْسَأَ لَهُ فِي أَثَرِهِ to have a long life. And that's why Imam al-Bukhari says, تَزِيدُ فِي الْعُمَرِ فَلْيَصِلْ رَحِمَهُ. The one who wants barakah and blessings in his rizq, in his sustenance, and the one who wants to have a long life and barakah in his age, in his life, wants to be healthy, because you have a long life because you're healthy, right? He says, فَلْيَصِلْ رَحِمَهُ. Then he should maintain ties. Maintain kinship. And Allahu A'lam, yani Allah knows best, but I think, you know, this is just a thought that's come to mind. I haven't read this in a commentary. But you know why this would happen? It's because the one who maintained ties, the one who's good and courteous and cordial towards others, the one who avoids fights and quarrels and argumentation, the human being that's just always smiling, you know, it's healthy for you. Ask the medics and the doctors. We have medics listening as well. Ask them. They'll tell you smiling is healthy for you. Seriously, it's healthy for you. The more you smile, the more healthy you become. The less worry you have, the more healthy you are. The more depression and the more sadness and sorrow you have in your life, the more time you spend complaining and arguing and fighting, and the more time you're always thinking about who said what and this, he said this and she said that, and that soap opera that I was talking about, the more time you spend in that, the more unhealthy you become and the less your age becomes. There's a connection, because if you maintain ties, people will maintain ties with you. If you love others, others will love you. If you are good towards other people, people will be good towards you. You'll be happy, you'll be jovial, and you'll be pleasant to live with. And if you are a pleasant person, then you'll be healthy. You'll have an impact on your health. And if you're healthy, you'll have a long life, and you'll have barakah in your life, in your sustenance, in your rizq, in your provision. And this is the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. There's another hadith where the Messenger Ibn Umar, Sayyidina Abdullah Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, says that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, or maybe this is a hadith mawquf ala Ibn Umar. Ibn Umar said, مَنِ اتَّقَى رَبَّهُ وَوَصَلَ رَحِمَهُ نُسِّئَ فِي أَجَلِهِ وَثَرَى مَالَهُ وَأَحَبَّهُ أَهْلَهُ. The one who fears his Lord, maintains ties, then his age is prolonged, his maal is increased, his wealth is increased, and his family love him. Other people love you. So three benefits in maintaining ties. You see, there's no benefit in arguing, getting your point across through fights, through quarrels, through argumentation, through dispute. If you are good towards other people, people will naturally love you. You'll have barakah in your food and in your provision, in your sustenance, in your money, in your wealth, and you'll have a healthy long life. Three benefits. Hadith of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And there are many other hadiths of the importance of maintaining ties. Of the importance of maintaining ties. On the other hand, there's grave sin in breaking ties. Major sin, one of the greatest sins, and this is, I want to talk about this topic in the next 15 odd minutes or so that we have before iftar. Just as maintaining ties and salatul rahim and being good towards other people is extremely important, cutting off ties, breaking ties, enmity, hatred, conflict, argumentation, slander, swearing, disputes, disunity is greatly haram, a grave sin in Islam, a major sin. It really brings a person down. There's a hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, Sunan Abi Dawood, and also here in Al-Adab al-Mufrad of Imam al-Bukhari, and Babu Ithmu Qati' al-Rahim. Babu Ithmi Qati' al-Rahim. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the companion Jubair bin Mut'im radiallahu anhu relates that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يدخل الجنة قاطع رحم. This is a hadith really puts fear in you. لا يدخل الجنة قاطع رحم. The one who breaks ties with shall not enter Jannah, paradise. Seriously, those of us who have enemies and we've broken ties, especially with our family members and relatives, this is the month of Ramadan that we need to. Month of Ramadan is not just about waking up for suhoor and iftar and keeping a fast and going to the masjid for taraweeh and coming back. The month of Ramadan is not only for keeping a fast and then opening your fast with a date and having some zamzam water and thinking Alhamdulillah, Allahumma laka sumtu wa bika amantu wa alayka tawakkaltu wa ala rizqika aftartu, and you've made a dua and you think, wow, I've kept a brilliant fast. You have kept, Alhamdulillah. I am not for one moment disregarding the fast, a great act of ibadah. But that's not only what we're supposed to do. We've kept, Alhamdulillah, a good fast. But I haven't spoken to my brother, my blood brother, for 10 years, 5 years, 4 years, 3 years, 2 years, 1 year, 4 months, 5 months, 1 month, 10 days, 4 days. What does the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? لَا يَهْجُرُ أَحَدُكُمْ أَخَاهُ فَوْقَ ثَلَاثٍ فَمَنْ هَجَرَ أَخَاهُ فَوْقَ ثَلَاثٍ فَمَاتَ دَخَلَ النَّارِ. One of you, make sure, don't let your non-conversation and don't let your breaking of ties overgo more than 3 days. Do not desert your fellow Muslim brother or sister for more than 3 days. فَمَنْ هَجَرَ أَخَاهُ فَوْقَ ثَلَاثٍ فَمَاتَ دَخَلَ النَّارِ. The one who deserts his fellow Muslim brother or sister, the one who breaks ties, the one who does not talk to his fellow Muslim brother or sister for more than 3 days and 3 nights, and he dies in that state, دَخَلَ النَّارِ. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, he shall enter the fire of hell. If I am keeping a fast in Ramadan and then I have not spoken for 10 days, I don't talk to another Muslim for over 10 days, I don't even want to see his or her face, I have enmity in the heart, what benefit is this fast? The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam is saying that if I was to die at this state, I have not spoken without a genuine valid reason, Islamically valid reason, and then I am destined to go into the fire of hell. May Allah save me and you and all of us. Ameen ya Rab. We need to think about this. Is being a Muslim just about fasting and waking up for suhoor and iftar? Is Ramadan just about that? Or is it about our interaction with people as well? This hadith is actually, this month of Ramadan is actually a training course for us. It's training us to become human beings. We need to be human beings, become human beings before we even become Muslims. Some of us, we are not even human beings. We have to become human beings. You know, in Arabic, Adamiyun. We have to inculcate in ourselves those good qualities. So the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, لا يدخل الجنة قاطع رحم. The one who breaks ties, he shall not enter paradise. Grave sin. Just like maintaining ties is greatly important, breaking ties, a major sin. Abdullah ibn Abi Awfa radiallahu anhu relates that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, this hadith is in Al-Adab al-Mufrad of Imam al-Bukhari, وَأَخْرَجَهُ الْبَيْهَقِيُّ فِي شُعَبِ الْإِيمَانِ. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, إِنَّ الرَّحْمَةَ لا تنزل على قوم فيهم قاطع رحم. الله أكبر. إن الرحمة لا تنزل على قوم فيهم قاطع رحم. Allah's rahmah, Allah's mercy, Allah's blessings does not descend on a people, on a community, on a group of people within whom there's a person who has broken ties. We ask for the mercy of Allah. Oh Allah, Allahumma arhamna, Allahumma arhamna, Ya Rabb, Allahumma arhamni, oh Allah, have mercy on us. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that, you know what, despite you asking Allah for rahmah and mercy, Allah's rahmah and mercy will not descend upon your community if you have people within you who are breaking ties. We're not talking about the non-practicing people. We're talking about the practicing, so-called practicing people. People in the mosques making dua. People in the mosques making dua all over the world. Of course, there are amazing good people. But we are making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We say, oh Allah, have mercy on us. And then we have conflict and we have enmity in our heart. We sit in one masjid. We sit in one mosque. In one city of the world. And we're making dua, oh Allah, have mercy and rahmah. But we have all the grudges in our heart for another mosque on the other side of the town. Is Allah going to have mercy? Of course not. So, this is highly important. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, rahmah, Allah's mercy and rahmah does not descend on a community, on a group of people in whom there's qati'u rahim. There are people who break ties. Breaking ties. You know, breaking ties, maintaining ties. I will talk about this in more detail, inshallah, when we come to the causes of family conflict. But basically what maintain... Somebody has texted in and asked this, what can you explain and define? So I will go into more details, not today. This is just an introduction. But if you've understood the concept, maintaining ties. Maintaining ties is to maintain ties. To be good and courteous towards other people, to especially with family members and relatives, family conflicts. That's why the title is Family Conflicts, Causes and Solutions. Family conflicts, causes and solutions. So, social conflicts, maintaining ties is that we are maintaining ties. We have good connection and relationship with people. And we don't break ties. We don't have enmity. We don't have hatred. We don't have dislike. We don't desert. We don't leave talking with other people, especially our relatives, our family members. Yes, without a doubt, it's not a problem. If somebody, for example, just is not able to get on with someone else, then if you don't have to, you know, sit with them and eat with them 24/7. If you keep a distance, that's fine. These are rules. And if there are specific situations, scenarios, go to your local imams and ulama and scholars and mashayikh and shuyukh and ask them, is this permissible, is this not permissible? So yes, there are times, and there are actually times when there are specific times and reasons when you can actually break ties, but for the sake of Allah, and I will talk about that inshallah. But generally you can't break ties. You can, you know, keep a distance, that's fine, but you can't break ties. So especially with family members and relatives. So this is the sin. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ قَاطِعُ رَحِيمٌ. The one who breaks ties shall not enter Jannah. And we have to look at this, brothers and sisters, as I said, you know, breaking ties and conflict and argumentation. As I mentioned the hadith in the beginning of today's program, near the beginning, الْمُؤْمِنُ مَأْلَفَ أُلْفَ أُلْفَ. Mutual love. Mutual love is one of the central obligations of Islam. Mutual love. Harmony, peace, tranquility, and creating that unity and love and harmony within our societies is considered to be one of the most important teachings and obligations of Islam. And the opposite of ulfa, the opposite of peace and harmony and love, the breaking of ties, the friction, the conflicts, the slandering, the cursing, the taunting, the disunity, the argumentation, is considered to be one of the greatest of sins, whether it's with family members, relatives, or generally other Muslims. And as I said, you know, especially in this month of Ramadan, we really have to control ourselves. You know, these great nights that we have. Just listen to this, and I'm going to end with this, inshallah. We have Laylatul Bara'ah, Laylatul Nisr min Sha'ban, and we have Laylatul Qadr, amongst the great nights that we have. Even the night of Eid is a great night, Laylatul Ja'iza. Laylatul Qadr, a great night, the night of power. Could be throughout the year, but more likely to occur in the month of Ramadan. Could be throughout the month of Ramadan, but more likely to occur in the odd last 10 nights, and then could be in any of the 10 nights, but more likely to occur in the odd last 10 nights. And then it could be in any of the odd nights, but more likely to occur in the 25th and 27th and 29th. And then, according to some, more likely to occur on the 27th. Iltamisuha, the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, he actually talked about Laylatul Qadr and he said, you know, search it. Iltamisuha fil ashril awakhir. في الوتر تحروا ليلة القدر. He said اطلبوها ليلة السبع عشر ليلة احدى عشرين. So anyway, I just want to talk about this night of power, amazing night. We know, we all go into the mosques and masajid and we pack them up and we make dua and this and that. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam actually knew, had knowledge of when Laylatul Qadr was. But there's a hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari and some other books, and you know this, we all know this. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam was given the knowledge of Laylatul Qadr, of the night of power. And what happened? Two people were arguing outside his house and knowledge was uplifted from him. This gives us a message that argumentation brings about darkness and ignorance. It takes away the bounty, the ni'mah and the gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the other big night, the great night, the night of blessings, Laylatul Nisr min Sha'ban. And by the way, Laylatul Nisr min Sha'ban, it is a blessed night. There are many hadiths, even though most of them, if not all of them, are considered to be da'if, weak, but collectively, according to the muhaddithun, they have this principle that if you have a collective, you have more than one weak hadith. Number one, it's fadail. There are many hadith recorded by Imam al-Tabrani, Imam al-Bayhaqi in his Sunan. There's approximately 9 to 10 hadiths that talk about the greatness of the night of the 15th of Sha'ban, Laylatul Nisr min Sha'ban, and Laylatul Bara'a. It's called night of freedom from the fire of hell, Laylatul Nisr min Sha'ban. So, even though most of them, if not all of them, individually they are weak hadiths, but collectively, first of all, they are regarding fadail, virtuous actions. Virtuous actions, the muhaddithun, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal said, إِذَا جَاءَنَا فِي الْحَلَالِ وَالْحَرَامِ تَشَدَّدْنَا وَإِذَا جَاءَنَا فِي الْفَضَائِلِ تَسَاهَلْنَا. When we have hadith regarding halal and haram, the lawful and the unlawful, then we are strict. But if it's regarding the virtuous actions, then we be lenient. Ibn Hajar Asqalani and many muhadithun, they've said clearly that if there's a weak hadith and it's to do with virtuous actions, then you can act upon it, not a problem. And then it's not only one hadith, we have 9-10 hadiths collectively, they reach a level which is called hasan li ghayrihi. They are, you know, accepted. So anyway, Laylatul Nisr min Sha'ban, there's one hadith regarding the night of the 15th of Sha'ban. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam was describing the rahmah, the mercy of Allah on the night of the 15th of Sha'ban, Laylatul Nisr min Sha'ban. And he said, يُعْتِقُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى مِنَ النَّارِ بِقَدْرِ شَعْرِ غَنَمِ بَنِي كَلْبِ. On that night, on the night of 15th of Sha'ban, Allah's mercy is increased to such an extent that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frees those people who are destined to go into the fire of hell. He frees millions of people, the number of which is to the level of بِقَدْرِ شَعْرِ غَنَمِ بَنِي كَلْبِ. You know, there was a tribe called Kalb, Banu Kalb. They had hundreds and thousands of animals, like sheep and goats. The hair that is on the animals owned by Banu Kalb, which means just like you cannot count, there's no ending, there's no number that you can place on the amount of hair. Just imagine, one animal has how many thousand, million hairs? Imagine. In other words, uncountable amounts of people Allah frees, removes from the fire of hell on the night of the 15th of Sha'ban. Imagine the mercy of Allah. But despite that, on that night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let alone forgive, He does not even look. He does not even look at certain people. Let alone forgiving, He does not even look at certain people. Subhanallah. He doesn't even look at certain people. وَلَا يَنْظُرُ اللَّهُ إِلَى مُشَاحٍ وَلَا إِلَى قَاطِعِ رَحِمٍ وَلَا إِلَى مُسْبِلٍ وَلَا إِلَى مُدْمِنِ خَمْرٍ. Four types of people. The one who's an alcohol addict. Allah does not forget. You know the night in which Allah frees from the fire of hell millions of people? Literally millions and millions. No end on that night, let alone forgiving. Allah does not even look. لا ينظر. The hadith is ولا ينظر الله. Allah does not even look at who? Four types of people. مدمن خمر, the one who is an alcohol addict. Those who have a habit, may Allah save you, may Allah protect you, may Allah. Those who don't have a habit, may Allah save you, protect you, and those who have, may Allah take you out from that habit, and may Allah forgive you, and may Allah take you away from that evil activity and habit. Number two, Musbil Izar, the one who lengthened his garment, and according to many scholars, out of pride. In other words, you know, you're being arrogant and proud. Again, being proud and arrogant towards people. And then the next two, and this is the reason why I mentioned this, two people who Allah does not even look. وَلَا إِلَىٰ قَاطِعِ رَحِمٍ وَلَا إِلَىٰ مُشَاحٍ مُشَاحٍ, the one who has hatred and enmity, enmity and dislike in his or her heart for other people. Ties have been broken. There was friendship, you broke your friendship. You were working for someone, your employer, something happened, he fired you, you've not spoken to him for over 5 months. You had a friend, something went wrong, you have enmity, hatred in the heart. You had a business partner, something went wrong in the business, you haven't spoken for 1 year because you've got now problems. Enmity in the heart. Enmity and hatred in the heart. This is called mushahin. Wala ila qati'i rahim. And the one who breaks ties, doesn't talk to his brother, he hasn't spoken to his father, he doesn't speak to his sister, he doesn't speak to his relatives, his first cousin, she doesn't speak to her mother-in-law, daughter-in-law, etc., etc., sister-in-law. On the night of the 15th of Sha'ban, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives numerous hundreds and thousands and millions of people, Allah does not even look at these kind of people. So therefore, concluding now, brothers and sisters, we've talked for 2 days on the importance of maintaining ties, importance of being good and courteous and cordial towards people, being kind and considerate towards people, being loving and caring, avoiding disputes, specifically and especially family disputes, avoiding family conflicts, avoiding argumentations, quarrels, disputes, and especially we need to start from this month of Ramadan. This month of Ramadan is a training camp, is a training course for us. This is where we start. We need to control ourselves. And this is why one of the reasons we fast, so we control our, you know, selves. We have to really control. As I said, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, look what he said, that there are so many people who have nothing from their fast except drinking, except hunger and thirst, because they argue, they swear, they slander. لَيْسَ الصِّيَامُ مِنَ الطَّعَامِ وَالشَّرَابِ إِنَّمَ الصِّيَامُ مِنَ اللَّغْوِ وَالرَّفَثِ. So avoid, especially in this start off, in this month of Ramadan, brothers and sisters, avoid argumentation. Totally, completely, just put it like a, you know, like a zip on your tongue if something happens, if someone speaks to you, like a tape. And just don't quarrel and argue with anyone. If we have ties broken with our family members, with our relatives, ask forgiveness from them, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and try to maintain them. It doesn't matter, life is too short. You know, nothing will happen if you go down. Actually, there's one hadith, subhanallah, you know, there's one hadith where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, because you might think, okay, but they're in the wrong, and it's their fault, and it's her fault, and it's not my fault. It doesn't matter, let them be at fault. You know, there's a hadith, listen to this hadith, and I will end with this hadith. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says in one hadith, that the one, من ترك المراء وهو محق, the one who leaves argumentation, calls disputes, despite being on the right, despite being on the truth. For example, you were right, it was not your fault. Imagine you had a business partner, something went wrong, and you're not talking with one another. You know for a fact, and everybody knows. Normally, I mean, generally, you will think it's his fault, and he will think it's your fault. Okay, that's normally how we work. Husband thinks it's wife's fault, wife thinks it's husband's at fault. But in this case, everybody knows for a fact that he was at fault. It was his fault. You are not at fault. Despite that, you left argumentation, and you said sorry first. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that I myself will guarantee Jannah and paradise for that person. لِمَنْ تَرَكَ الْمِرَاءَ, for the one who, despite being on the truth and being on the right and despite not being at fault, he said sorry first just so that the argument and the quarrel and the dispute vanishes and evaporates and goes away. Just for that fact. He knows that it's not his fault. But for the sake of unity, for the sake of not prolonging the dispute, he said, okay, sorry, my fault, no problem. And remember, not in a sarcastic manner, because sarcastically, that's also a way of retaliation, as I said. So we need to start off in this month, brother and sister, seriously. You know, we need to, if we have problems with other people, ask forgiveness. Even if you're not in the wrong, seek forgiveness from them. Try to make peace and harmony amongst brothers and sisters, inshallah. I will end with this. From tomorrow, we're going to start with the causes. The title of our talk every day from 6:45 till iftar: family conflicts, social conflicts, causes and solutions. So from tomorrow, inshallah, we'll talk about the causes. I will mention one by one, point by point, each cause, the reason why we have social and family conflicts, and what are the solutions, how do we avoid them, inshallah. I pray to Allah, He blesses us and gives us the ability to practice on what I've said, inshallah. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.